Well, according to the bad guitar playing, yes, another radio fishing. Yes, I gotta get some musicians in here, help liven this intro up. Well, in the chair across from me today, in our huge and immaculate studios in downtown Charlotte Harbor, yes, we have Captain Tim Johnson. And how you doing there, sir?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Frank?
Oh, man, I'm just great. Oh, and the people just love that you're here. I mean, they, you know. So, Tim, tell me again the name of your charter business.
It's Real Reaper Charters.
All right. Come on. Wait a minute. Okay, everybody, quiet. Oh, thank you. All right. It's nice when, you know, I have these, they're so cooperative, our studio audience.
I tell you, they're on cue, ain't they?
Yeah, just amazing. So anyway, go ahead.
It's Real Reaper Charters, formerly T-Back Charters, but, you know, we changed the name this year and kind of a new outlook on life for us.
Yeah, I know. I go through that same thing. I'm trying to be more correct. Although my son says I'm the least politically correct person he's ever listened to. But he works for the military.
But that's why he has such a big fan base, because, you know, you'll tell it like it is.
Yeah.
Right, wrong, and different like it. I don't care. That's what you're getting.
Oh, God. But anyway, so what you been doing lately?
You know, we've been fishing. You know, tarpon are starting to show up, and of course, this is probably the busiest time of the year for us.
Coming in May and June, we never see anybody. You're in here loading up new reels. What's the reel of choice this year? What was the decision making on the reels?
Well, you know, the combos are what I kind of consider bulletproof. I mean, I get, you know, 2-3 years out of them, and you know, with very little maintenance, so you kind of go with what lasts.
I think it's also a case of what works for you.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a particular brand out there right now that's not having little issues here and there. I think a lot of it's a luck.
But it's all how you maintain them. I mean, it really is. I mean, if you take them, you throw them on the boat floor, and you know, balance them across the harbor, and you drop them over the side, and then you wonder why they don't work when you go to pick them up next time. Well,
but you have a nice medium clientele and a high-end clientele, and one of the things I like about your boat is everybody gets to fish with really, actually, for the same price as anybody else, you get much, really nice tackle. I mean, you do a great job keeping everything up. Your boat, your truck, I mean, it's everything about it is just really nicely done.
You do a great job keeping my gear, you know, at the top. And you're right, you know, I mean, do you want to go out and if you want to fish with somebody that, you know, is using... You know,
I understand
a disposable rod and reel, or do you want to go out and fish with somebody who, you know, is fishing a little bit higher end stuff?
There's nothing worse. It's about time, money, and effort. If you're going to charge,
worse than losing fish because you got junk.
Exactly. I mean, there was one charter service down here that, I mean, they literally, it was $20 combos on a boat, and people would come in and just moan and complain. I mean, your stuff's beautiful tackle. I know where you get it from.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you put the money into it to make everybody's day a lot nicer.
Well, you know, and you got to. I mean, you know, that's what you're there for. I mean, pretty much, you know, you're spending some time with great folks, and you want them to have the best day possible. And, you know, why shortchange yourself and use crap?
So, as far as the fishing-wise, I know you've been out a lot. Now yesterday I've been having pretty good days, but now yesterday I went more exploring than fishing, and by the time I did get to the fishing part of it, it was a little late, and I crapped out. I, you know, threw the dice against the wall, snake eyes, crap out, done, you know, and Terry caught one stingray yesterday.
But you gotta have days like that when you're out exploring. I mean, you gotta, you know, it can go either real good or real bad, but if it goes real bad, now you know where not to go tomorrow, you know, I mean.
You know, I love pushing up in creeks, and when you're in a 24-foot boat, you probably shouldn't go creek hunting. And we ended up going from the river to a creek to another creek, and then trying to go up a creek from there. and I really wanted to get up there. And I mean, I pushed it and finally got up where I ended up having to turn around. I'm in a 24-foot boat with 22 feet wide creek.
Did you have a paddle?
Actually, I was up the creek without a paddle, but I did have a push pole. And then I turned around. And luckily, that bow lifted up, you know, has the rise, so the 24 is at the top, not at the bottom. Mm-hmm. I would probably still be up that creek. And, you know, it just, the overgrowth got too much. We couldn't get under it. So I'm going to take 16 up there and a pair of hedge trimmers. I know there's going to be fish further back up there.
Oh, yeah.
But whenever you run in a creek, you know, you always got to be so careful because of the stumps and the trees falling down. Mm-hmm. And people don't, they're used to running the rivers and stuff. And our water's exceptionally open.
Yes.
It's very, very hard to hang up and break on something.
Yes, it is.
Boy, when you're in a creek, off a creek, off a creek, there's fallen trees and stumps.
And they collect.
Yeah.
You know, creeks collect what the river doesn't, you know, doesn't dissipate out. So,
and it was
you
funny,
gotta be careful.
I was playing teeter-totter on top of stump with the boat. You know? Walk this way. No, okay, get out. This side. All right, that's enough. Push. We get off those stumps and logs. But it was a lot of fun. I mean, I really enjoyed it. That was an amazing creek because the sides have been so eroded down. They're literally averaging probably 5 foot going up to about 10 or 12 foot straight down, and all the tree roots are hanging half over, and you can see some of the trees are going to topple. But I'm hoping a couple of those big ones go all the way to the other side, you know, because that'll be the end of that creek. And I know there's fish up there. I know it. I'm positive there's great fishing up there.
Well, that's a funny thing about exploring those creeks is you never know what you're going to come across, what you're going to see. I mean, you know, there's a few over on off the east wall that go up in there, and you can go 200 yards, and then you have to get out, pick your boat up, go over a little sandbar. And then the next set, I mean, it's just loaded with fish.
I'm putting together a 16 just to do this with. A little flat bottom
16.
Yeah, a little J16. I just wanted to go exploring with. And down at Marina Mike's, the Mike's really cool. And kind of been going to San Carlos, Marina Mike's. You know, the guys are great down there.
Yeah, I've bought two off of Marina Mike's before.
Yeah.
It's, you know, never a bad
him and his
situation
dad.
For me.
Yeah, nice people. But, yeah, I got that little 16. I'm kind of reworking, and, you know, it's just going to be a creek explorer.
That's ideal for it, you know.
Little tiny motor just to get putting up in there. Although I don't know how long that's going to last. I think I got to upgrade. I don't think that little motor is going to last. I want to do at least 30.
Yeah.
25 in a boat is okay. 20 is not acceptable anymore.
Put a little 50 on the back there, you're gone.
I did have a 50 on it, but Jeff's motor blew up, one of the guys worked for me, so I gave him my 50.
No.
So, you know, what you gonna
you
do?
You gotta have your guys. You always do.
Well, Jeff's gotta have a boat. He wouldn't be Jeff. If Jeff's not on a boat 1 or 2 or 3 days a week, he just gets all twitchy.
If he doesn't leave, you know, doesn't leave the dock without his hedge clippers.
Yes.
I mean, I've seen Jeff, and then I've Jeff said, hey, you know, I saw you yesterday and Wednesday and Thursday. I said, where the heck were you? He goes, you'll never see me.
Yeah.
And he's right, because, I mean,
Well, he goes up, and he sees a little bit of water running. He just starts trimming the trees to make a tunnel to get through. And then the next thing you know, he's like 5 feet off the main body of the river, but he's traveled a mile and a half to get there.
Yeah.
But back to your fishing, what's been the catch? What's been the predominant catch?
Believe it or not, we started seeing the tarpon about 3 weeks ago, all the way up against the east wall already. And then that cold front came through, and, of course, they pushed back off to offshore. But we've been getting some trickle tail off the buoys in the harbor.
Really?
Yeah.
We
were in the tower just kind of looking around, and, you know, you see the shadow under the buoy, and you're like, really?
Wow.
Pitch to it, and there they are.
It's the one fish, if you want to hear me cuss when I lose a fish.
Yeah.
Losing a triple tail makes me nuts. Yeah. I don't know. It's that one fish. And I usually, at this time of year, carry a rod with 6-pound mono on it. You know, I might go 8-pound if I'm feeling, you know, like I don't have my talent together. But 6-pound mono, 25-pound test leader, and that's what I'm going for. I don't use braid on them. I always throw that 6-pound mono. So, I mean, you got to be a little more on your game with that.
You do, because, I mean, you're always fishing them predominantly around a buoy. And it takes a split second to go around that buoy, and it's
over. He's wrapped around it. He's gone, and you gotta. I mean, everything about fishing triple tail is luck, skill, and ability.
Yep.
The better you are, the luckier you're going to be.
Yeah, I'm praying for a lot of luck when I go.
It's still a lot of luck. you know. But
it's finding them first, and that's the thing. And
it's the hunting aspect.
It is, and you're going crab trap, and buoy to buoy, and marker to marker, and in hopes of getting a glimpse of what you're looking for.
Like I say, the biggest one I've ever caught was under a potato chip bag, a little snack size blue and silver potato chip bag. He had his head stuffed up underneath there. He was 30 some inches long.
Really, wow.
A monster triple tail. I mean, the biggest one I've ever seen.
That's a beauty.
I used to catch him in the 25, 28 inch range a lot, but when I was chartering, because I was, they're just kind of triple tail crazy. But that's nice that they're in great eating
it is,
fish.
Kind
of a booger to clean.
Yeah, I mean, the first couple you clean, you just need to take your time. But to see him up inside the harbor this year was kind of neat to see. I mean, because we
by the way, all the big triple tail I've ever caught like that, all in the harbor.
Really?
Oh yeah. Not one big one in the Gulf.
I think a lot of the time
I can catch a lot more in the Gulf, but I can't catch them as big.
We're not able to see them, in the harbor.
Right.
When the rains get here and that harbor gets brackish and
pre-Hurricane Charlie, there was several spots out here that you could go, and I would just hit them because I knew the fish were there. And one time as I was going out on a trip, I would just stop, hit them, coming back in, I'd stop and hit them. Just straight out luck, but you make your own luck in some instances. Mm-hmm. But all that's gone. Charlie took all that out, so I don't know if I know I could not do what I used to do.
No, it's times have changed. The harbor's definitely changed since Charlie. It is entirely different.
And we're losing white bait by the year.
Yeah, it has.
Guys, I think have got to quit saying they moved and start saying I killed them.
Mm-hmm.
Once we can get guys to change their phrasing, then I think they'll understand that I'm responsible, all of us are responsible. When we keep saying, well, why isn't the bait coming? Well, when we take them small, big, whatever, and we all do it, and I'm trying not to now, but I'm still not by any means an angel or a saint on it, but trying to get better at it. And absolutely, guys, if you're lucky enough to do find some bait, make sure you let whatever you don't use go in good condition. And we've got to stop squeezing the bait when we use it for chum.
Yeah,
we've just got to change our ways, because every two we kill this year is 500 that's not here the next year.
Well, that's it, and you got to be wise about how you're acquiring your bait. I mean, if you look down and you see that it's 2-inch bait, don't throw a 3/8 net on top of them. I mean, you're going to gill 90% of them, 95% of them.
No, and it all comes into part of it, but we're having definite problems with bait this year. We saw it a little bit last year, much more this year. Next year, it's probably going to get worse. And I don't really know what the answer is going to be on that. But good thing is, they're still eating shrimp. So I'm fairly lucky with that. But trying to get enough shrimp now that there is no bait around, or that the bait's very scarce, is sometimes challenging.
Well, and I think that's why, the pinfish bite has increasingly gotten better the last couple of years. I think it's because that's what they're feeding on.
Are you doing well on pinfish right now?
Yeah.
Really?
Still.
I had a couple guys that weren't doing that well. They came back in and started using shrimp. And it's been that last week and a half, pinfish just kind of slacked off. They've been back on the shrimp.
It's getting warmer. I still think that the warmer that water gets, the less that they're chasing that pinfish.
Well, the water was 77 degrees when I was out yesterday, surface temp, up in the river, 77 degrees.
Yeah.
But, so you've been catching triple tail. That's exciting.
We're doing some triple tail. Yeah,
I mean, that is, I know I get a little twitchy and I get off topic, but to be quite honest, that's my favorite. I still get a real twitchy when I start. Now, I'm sitting in the chair, tap my finger on, okay, I could be out there right now.
Yes, you could.
Yeah,
yes,
I could be. We could be out there fishing that right now. So anyway, how'd you been doing at Cobia?
Still killing them. I mean, we've moved to, most of the Cobia I was catching a month ago when we talked was in the harbor, Alligator Creek Reef, doing real well there. Moved kind of out offshore a little bit, out to the power poles. I've been having, quite a bit of luck out there. We went Saturday, we got three.
That's good.
Two were... We're in the slot, so happy people.
Yeah, that's real nice. What else have you been seeing in this? I'm hearing a little bit of king mackerel, a little bit of.
I haven't seen the kings, but then again, I mean, we really haven't been, going through the motions to even
any amberjack.
Anything amberjack? Yeah, I mean, small ones up, this close.
Yeah, A lot of Amoco's, Robert was saying, mixed in. I couldn't tell the difference at this point. I'm going to take some time today and look at them up, and because once you get in those Amberjack, Amoco Jacks and all that, they're so close. And, you know, it's a one line difference or so many fins different. So it's tough to tell.
And you know, and then the Goliath grouper are everywhere. I mean, if you're trying to go grouper fishing,
the guys are using spinning tackle or the two-speed stuff now. Two-speed is really coming into its own, because you can sit there in low gear and get that fish off the bottom, get them to break loose, and once they break loose, hit that high speed, and you know, you're zipping them up 40 some inches of crank, and then you got to go quick or you lost that fish.
I got a friend of mine who this is his second attempt, but got one hand landing here today.
The
first time he pulled him in the water.
It pulled him off the boat?
Pulled him off the boat.
Well, I don't think people realize. They think, okay, it's a fish.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of us kind of think of fish with bass. You know what I mean? Okay, I've caught a bass. I've caught a redfish.
Mm-hmm.
I can do this.
Absolutely.
But they're not thinking 200, 400, 600 pounds.
Exactly.
And
you know, and if you're a 180 to 220 and a 400-pound fish hits and he's in his element, with you know the propulsion that they have with those tails. I mean, when they dive, they dive. Your 200-pound butt ain't worth nothing. It's going.
You need to, you really need to know how to, you know, balance your weight, pull back, and I mean, you got to have a good back for that.
I had
these guys on a trip, and they were saying, well, there's just no big fish here, and I used to know where there was a big one close by, and I would just go and hook him every once in a while just to show people and just knock them to their knees.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always fun because you see the look on their face when you hand them this big shark pole. Hold on to this. Just stand there, hold on to it, but don't break my rod. Don't let it hit the gunnel. When your knees hit the floor, stand up again.
Yep.
And they're like, what? I said, well, when you get knocked down to the bottom of the boat, just remember, stand back up again as soon as you can. And all of a sudden, boom, ba bam! They're laying on the bottom of the boat,
and they don't know what hit them. They're just, you know, it's, you know. And then you get these guys. They want to go out. They want these big fish, and we want to do all day. Yeah, one of those big fish, and they're done.
So, what are you using for bait on these Goliath?
I have used this year so far. I've used cut ladyfish, cut mullet. We did actually have a few. Bonita that we caught offshore the other day, those were good. I mean, they're a garbage fish. If you put it in their face, they're gonna eat it.
So bait isn't really type of bait isn't a big deal. How big a bait are you using? Let's get to that.
My ladyfish are probably anywhere between 12-16 inches,
and using them whole, butterflied.
I butterflied them. It seems to be the best tactic. I don't know if it's just because the water movement gets it flashing and flipping or what, but we've caught them. You know, just cut them in half. You know, use a head on one rod and a tail on the other, and we've caught them on both.
Yeah. So.
So it's not. I haven't really found a particular that they're wanting any more than the other.
So what size hook is the average?
I'm using 11.
11 aught?
Yeah.
So, basically, big hook, big chunk of bait. Get it down on the bottom and hold on.
I'm only using 80-pound braid and 100-pound leader. You know, that's all I want.
Well,
I want the rush.
It's actually safer for the customer. He has a chance of breaking it.
It is.
That 100-pound leader, when you're tying 200, 300-pound right from the rod to the hook, that's a little less safe. That's when things get jerked around.
And that's usually when I lose gear.
Yeah, and at $1,000 a rod, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, and then
because the rod is an $85-$89 billfisher, but you've got $500-$600 worth of reel and another, you know, $60 worth of line on it, $700-$800 worth of reel, because you've got to use an international, a Santiago. Those are probably the two best. The Marquesa is okay, but you know, internationals are just tough.
Yeah,
nothing nice about international except for sitting on the shelf is pretty.
Yeah,
but it's clunky, it's heavy, but boy, they don't give up.
No,
same thing with the Santiago's. I mean, they're both just really super tough reels.
And that's what you want for that type of fishing. You want something that it, you know, it doesn't have to win any show pony prizes, but it has to be tough.
Well, the nice part about them, both of them are beautiful reels, but they're not like the Tiagra is beautiful, silky smooth, but they just don't have the longevity of, you know, the older international styles. They're just bigger, heavier, rougher. And when I turn a big reel, I want it to feel rough. I want those gears, you know, I don't want them silky smooth. I want to feel each tooth digging in, you know. But how's the Back Bay fishing been? Anything going on Back Bay?
Back Bay's been decent. We, believe it or not, I mean, we still have a lot of oversized reds, it seems like, up in the Back Bay.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's strange. I mean, usually this time of year, I mean, you know, they've started to push off, and but you know, we're still finding schools of, you know, 15 to 40. And every one of them's 28 to 33. You know, I mean, it's they're just in that school range still, and they're still back in the shallows.
And are you talking east side of the harbor?
Actually, I'm talking down towards Gasparilla, Pasita area.
Okay, the Tailing Flats, you know, Gasparilla Sound.
Bull, turtle, all that there.
Because that sounds a lot like what's going on the east side. There's a big school there. Now, speculation has been that these are some of those old hatchery fish that were actually raised off of Pine Island and released and part of a restocking program they did a number of years ago, and they never really had that join their school of fish, because the redfish that grew up here naturally, the fish spawn, but the adults leave and then the young ones go with them. But with this other ones, they're definitely a different genetics. And
well, notice the tails on them. I mean, that was one of the first things on that school on the east wall that you're talking about on the east side. You know, I've talked to Captain Carl, I mean, he's caught a few of them, and as we were talking about, as the tails, they look more like a, you know, a Sarasota Tampa fish, where it's a straight tail. It doesn't have that pronounced hook at the very top,
and
which is odd for this harbor, because you don't usually find them here.
And that's why we're thinking maybe hatchery fish, that they never had the parents to show them where to go, to go out in the Gulf and leave and become a pelagic reef fish. I think we're seeing some of those, because I get reports still of 40-inch redfish cruising along the shorelines in times when they should just be gone. They should be in the Carolinas or Louisiana or wherever, but they shouldn't be here. And it seems like each year we have more and more of a year-round big redfish population.
Well, that's great. I mean, as long as those big redfish are spawning and you know, keeping the young here, I mean, that's only going to help us.
Yeah, it's just...
But it's odd to see, because
it's a good thing. That
5 years ago, I didn't see them,
and I think it probably, I think they were well hidden. I don't think a lot of us were looking for them 5 years ago back in the back, because it was easier fishing out front. But as the number of boats increase, the fishing pressure increases, we go further and further into the back looking for these fish, trying to get away from the average person who just can't get their boats back there. And I think that's why we're finding them more in the last few years, because we've all had to go back a little further, hunt a little bit more, and now we're finding these schools of big redfish that I'm almost assuming were here, but maybe we just weren't seeing them.
And it's entirely possible. Like you said, you know, we are pushing further and further back, because you're trying to get out of you know, everybody's away, pretty much, you know.
Because when
it's so nice when you can find fish and have them all to yourself. There's nobody around. You ain't got to worry about somebody blowing up next to you, blowing in front of you. I mean,
but that's the whole idea behind paying somebody to do a charter, is for them to find those fish where there's not a lot of other boats, where they get that true, you know, in the middle of nowhere feeling.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons, you know, you're popular. I used to be popular, is finding those spots that are out of the way, where sometimes you got to fish around other boats and around houses and stuff, but whenever I could, I'd like you, I would just go to the back of the back of the back and try and find my fish there.
Well, it's nice. You can tell them you're taking them to your pets. You're here. Nobody else knows where these are. Here they are. They're back up here all by themselves, and they're, you know, when we finally get to where we're going, they're, you know, how did you ever find these? How did you get back here?
And the nice part about it is I've had people say, well, is it all right if I come back and fish? Sure.
Good luck finding it.
And, you know, by the time I go around 6-8 islands and I'm off a creek in a creek, they're like, where are we? Well, we're south of Alaska. I know that. There's a reason these fish are here.
We call it San Carlos Park.
Yeah.
But no, it's it is truly what, you know, most of us love to see.
Yeah, I enjoy that. Getting out in the backcountry. Well, that's why I do so much exploring. And I did find a couple of spots. And I think the creek that I went into, well, I know there's fish in the back because, I mean, I've been there, but never by boat. And so I know there's a lot of fish back there, but I found a bunch of deep water right at the entrance of the creek. And the creek I was in to get in that one was shallow, and then it drops off right into there. So I'm waiting until September, and I'm going to bank there's a bunch of big snook show up there by September that's going to be loaded.
I bet you're right.
Yeah, because right now the snook are heading out towards... Yeah, you need rain. It's a part of a ditch system, you know.
Yeah.
But right now the big snook are all about out by the beaches. I mean, I'm hearing a lot of snook in Turtle Bay, Bull Bay, at the mouths of the canals. I think they're all trying to find, okay, where's the salt so we can start to spawn. And I think the harbor's still dark enough where in the next, over this, by the end of this month, 90% of your big fish are going to be on the barrier islands.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're still seeing quite a few, you know, and big snook, 40-inch plus.
Right.
In the backside of Turtle Bay, you know, 4 foot of water, sandy bottom. It's hard not to be cruising along and just see a log laying in those holes. But the groups of fish, you know, we're seeing, you know, 6 to 8 foot of water, a little bit deeper.
Yep.
And
spawning grounds.
A bunch of them. You know, you'll see a bunch of 24s to 30, and then you'll see 6 or 7 just 40, 45s. I mean.
Well, those, believe it or not, those 20-inch snook, got to be careful, because that 44, that's lunch.
Oh, yeah.
That little male comes up, he better get his business and get out of there, because she ain't got, you know, okay, yeah, well, thank you, but you look tasty.
You look tasty, yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. They won't mind a little snap at that at all.
Oh, no, it's always funny, because weirdly, if I'm fishing for a fish, I tend to use a lure that looks like that fish, because it seems like trout's favorite food is small trout, and snook's favorite food is small snook. And, you know, it just seems to work that way. I noticed it first on rainbow trout, freshwater rainbow trout. Use a rainbow trout pattern lure, and you're more likely to catch rainbow trout.
I've used that trout pattern spook for years, fishing for trout, and they annihilate it.
Isn't there? It's nature is no. It's not like they show us in the cartoons. Yeah, it's not like they show us in the cartoons where they're sipping around, drinking tea, and calling each other on their shell phones.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So anyway, so everything else going pretty good?
Everything else is going great. We're moving right along.
Do you still have a few open days next month?
Yeah, they're becoming limited. I mean, like I said, it seems like the more tarpon sightings that we're starting to see, the more the phone's ringing.
Right. I know I had one of our tarpon guys in here this morning, and he's got 8 days left for tarpon season, and it's closing up rapidly. It's going to be an interesting year on tarpon. This is going to be kind of a... they showed up early, but they're not... Like, okay, I want to feed.
No, they're not grouping. I mean, the school I saw, like I said, I was coming back down on the outside of the bar on East Wall, and they were up to the top of the water. They weren't rolling. I mean, I just see, at first I thought it was rays from a distance up on top of the water, and it was probably 100 tarpon, you know, in the 60 to 120 range.
Now, Robert always says that because the water's still cool, we've had a lot of wind, there's a lot of oxygen in the water. And they're not having to gulp air, and they're not expending the energy. So they're not rolling to get that air, they're not rolling to, once they start spawning and doing all that, they've got all that energy tied up. And so they're gulping air, trying to, you know, get their energy reserves up. Mm-hmm. And right now, they're just kind of hanging out. They're not...
Yeah, it's amazing when you, I mean, just using the side imaging unit on my Lowrance system, the amount of tarpon that are in the harbor that you're not seeing, that I mean are just laying on the bottom.
It's staggering.
When they're laying on the bottom, I mean those are the group of fish I don't even attempt.
No.
You know, I mean, you're sitting there. You're going to be sitting there waiting for them to turn on. Is all you're going to do. I mean, for the most
part. And it could be at 2 o'clock in the morning. It could be 1 in the afternoon.
Exactly. You've got to look for that feed somewhere.
Yeah, there's no way to tell when it's going to happen. I tried using the major and minors on them, and it didn't work.
they
have their own clock. They don't care where the moon is, where the sun is.
No, they
when
don't
they're
care.
Ready to eat, they're going to eat, and then they're turning off and they're done.
Yeah, and we haven't really had a you know, what I consider a huge flush tide yet for them to start feeding crab yet. Haven't seen it. It should be coming here. You Googling it over there, Frank?
Well, I'm going to fishandfranks.com. On fishandfranks.com, at least I can get an idea what the... Okay.
But that seems to be, you know, when we get that first real big flush. But then again, you also talking to the crabbers, you know, the local guys, crabbing's been a little hard this year. So
I know the crabbing's been real tough.
You know, so what's that going to do for, you know, the food supply flowing in and out of that pass this year?
Well, I can tell you, the one thing about it is none of the near creeks, the ones up here, have many crabs in them. It's closer you get to Turtle Bay, Bull Bay, the more crabs you're finding.
Yeah.
There's gazillions of small crabs out there. Okay, weather and tides, I'm just going to grab a...
Yeah, I mean, I'm living on the water, and I've got a crab trap out back, and, you know, we usually pick up 4 or 5 in a couple of days.
We're only doing... right now we got a 1.9 to, let's see. All right, that's, we're pushing about a foot and a half of water a day right now, and that's not quite enough. We need to get those two and a half twos,
yeah.
You know, where it gets up 2.3 down to -3.
Yeah, where it really blows in, blows out.
Yeah, and it's just, we're not quite getting there. We've got one long one a day, and then the short one just isn't much. We need to get a couple of those two tide days where
extreme. We need the short ones that are, you know, 4.5-5 hours,
yeah,
top to bottom.
Yeah, and that'll help, because the water up by the river is really brown right now.
Mm-hmm.
But you get out by Gasparilla, Cape Hayes, and it's cleared up tremendously. But we're just not seeing that clear water all the way up here yet.
No, and I don't think, if they keep releasing water, we may not see that, you know.
We don't get as much of that as you would think up this far.
No.
That's a problem for Punarasa redfish. We probably get 20-25% of that water flush, mm-hmm, because it's got to come up through Mat Lache or around through the intercoastal.
Right.
And when it tries to come around the intercoastal, you've got redfish, Captiva, all the passes there that kind of suck that back and forth. But we only get that little bit. Now, I haven't checked the Caloosahatchee, but on the Peace River right now, it's below 2 feet. It's back up to about 1.9, and which is very, very little water flow, if any, coming out of Arcadia.
Yeah.
But we're hearing about a lot of water up on the river, and the only thing I can think of, it's tide generated. Because at 1.8 in Arcadia, 1.9, there's no water coming down.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Why? How could there? It's. I think the incoming tide is just pushing further and further up each year.
Pushing up further.
Yeah, I think it's just going up further.
Less obstruction on the way up.
Yeah, I mean, usually somewhere between Horse Creek and Aaron Lake up there, there's that little drop off falls.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing I can think of is that tide's pushing even further up than it ever did. I don't understand what else it could be.
Right.
Hearing about a lot of water up there, but no.
But we haven't had any
flow.
We haven't had any rainfall to speak of, or
yeah, because I mean, we talked to a lot of fossil hunters. Mm-hmm. You know, fossil hunting up in Arcadia and between here and Arcadia is just a huge thing. People like walking and picking up dinosaur bones and mammoth stuff and all that kind of thing. And Ollie brought in the other day. He had a full mammoth jaw with the teeth in it.
Really?
And then part of the jaw was very cool because part of it was broken, and you could lift it off and see the roots of the teeth and all the cavities inside the bone and everything. It was just absolutely amazing to look at. And they had to be big. The thing's heavy. I mean, really heavy. I can't imagine having a jaw that heavy walking around. It's like, oh my God, I got a really bad reference, but I'm going to keep that to myself. Anyway, I'm going to, we should almost get ready to call this one a wrap.
Yeah, got to get back to work.
Yeah, you got to go to work, and that's actually where I got to get to. But anyway, this is Fish and Frank, and that's Captain Tim over there. And name of your charter business?
Real Reaper Charters.
And your phone number for Real Reaper Charters?
Area code 239-253-1702.
239-253-1702. See, got to repeat it a couple of times.
Yeah, I'm going to get tattooed on my forehead too next.
That way I can read it.
It's not big enough on the truck, you know.
Anyway, just click to Tim's picture right next to this radio edition. It'll take you right to his website. And... take a charter out with Tim. You're going to have a ball. He's a lot of fun to fish with, and he's been a good friend for a long time. We'll see you guys on the next Radio Fishing.
Frank, always a pleasure.